Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, 6 December, 2023, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives in the very short time that we are here. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, well, last night I presented to you the divine viewpoint of the night before Christmas, and they're still out on the table in the hallway. You're welcome to take as many as you want. We also have invitations that you can hand out to people to come to the Christmas program and the Little People's Christmas Play. And that's also out on the table. It says, you are invited to our Christmas program and Children's Christmas Play. Date, Sunday, December 17th, time 10 a.m. You take these and then give those to whoever you would like to have come and hear the grace gospel of Jesus Christ and the greatest miracle that this world will ever know, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. So there's a bunch of these out there. Take as many as you want. Give it to your family, friends, neighbors, anybody you'd like to have come and hear the grace gospel. And this is a phenomenal Christmas program. We don't know right now if Randy will be here, but Randy and Dodie have put this together, which is it's spectacular. And they provided this. They had this all done a couple months ago, and invited Deb and I out to their house and went through the whole thing, and it's absolutely fantastic. So here are the invitations you can take and give to people you like to have come and see the program. And the divine viewpoint on the night before Christmas. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We have exegeted verse 1, which sounds like this: for we know that if our earthly house, our human body, which is a tent, is taken down, that's physical death, we keep on having a building from God, a resurrection body, a house not made with human hands, eternal in the heavens. Death, physical death, is a reminder that time is short in our temporary body, living in our human body on earth. We are here a very short time. And we saw some of these passages last time. I'd like to start with them tonight. Turn over to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Now, when you were younger and in school and taking your tests and so forth, you thought time went very, very slow. But the older you get, the faster time goes. And Deb and I, she always saying to me, "Can you believe how fast that month went?" I said, "I believe." How fast the days go, how fast the weeks go, how fast the months go. I said, seemed like it just yesterday I was running hurdles, and now I'm running a different kind of hurdle, spiritual hurdles. And it seemed like it was just yesterday. James chapter 4, verse 13. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or to that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a vapor, a mist. You're here today and gone tomorrow. You're a mist or a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and you brag, and all such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good, that which is intrinsically good, he ought to do. And the one who doesn't do it sins. And unfortunately today there's a lot of believers in Jesus Christ who know what they ought to do. From this pulpit, the spiritual life has been taught in great detail. The spiritual skills have been taught in great detail. The ultimate objective of the spiritual life, which is to have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. The number one commandment that the Lord Jesus Christ declared is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the number one, most important commandment. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. So there you have virtue love. Virtue love brought to completion in your heart is personal love for God the Father, the great motivational virtue which motivates impersonal love for all mankind, and occupation with Jesus Christ. And when you have occupation with Jesus Christ, well, then you have self-contained happiness. You share the happiness of God every single day. When you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, You have Thanksgiving every day. You have Christmas every day. Every day you get up, you share the happiness of God. It's another day the Lord has made. He's given it to you to fulfill the purpose for why you're here. And you're here a very short time. But you know, I watch and I see believers, even some who come here. And this is not the most important thing in their life. Your life is very, very short. You're here today, you're gone tomorrow. Since our time on earth is very, very short, we are given a mandate. And that mandate is to redeem the time. Turn over to Ephesians 5. Our time here is very, very short. So we have been given a mandate. The royal family of God. And the mandate is this. Make the most of every opportunity to live the spiritual life and attain spiritual maturity and glorify God. That's why we're here. Ephesians 5, verse 15. Therefore, you might have be careful. It says, beware. Beware how you walk. And the word walk describes how you live. Beware how you live. Not as unwise men. Unwise men are believers with little or no metabolized doctrine in their heart. No wisdom. No Sophia. No Kakma. And therefore, you cannot skillfully and accurately apply truth to your life. So, beware how you are living. Not as unwise men, but as wise. As believers who have maximum metabolized doctrine in their heart. Believers who the Word of God is more important than the air that you breathe. Death is a reminder of the futility of cosmic glory and wealth, fame and profit. Mark 8, 36 and 37. So what if you gain the whole world, all the wealth and material blessings in the world, and lose your own soul? What do you have? Death is a reminder to live your life in the light of eternity. We're here such a short time, but we're living our life in the light of eternity. Death is a reminder of the certainty of judgment for those who reject Jesus Christ as Savior, for the unbeliever. Hebrews 9:27, John 3:18 and 36. God is the one who creates the real you, your soul life, and He puts you in your earthly house, your tent, your physical body at physical birth. God is also the one who takes the earthly house, your tent, takes it down at physical death. So God is the one who puts you in your tent, in your temporary house, your human body at physical birth. And God is the one who takes you out of your temporary house at physical death. Both physical birth and physical death are a matter of the sovereignty of God. Now the Apostle Paul is not concerned at all, he's not concerned for a moment about physical death, about having this earthly house, this human body taken down. And the reason why is because he knows that he has an eternal house from God in heaven, the resurrection body. God is the designer of our resurrection body. A body not made with human hands. The Lord Jesus Christ described His own resurrection body as a temple made without hands in Mark 14:58. Our resurrection body is a building, a house that our soul and human spirit will live in forever. Our resurrection body is eternal and enables us to live in heaven. And that is something that this tent, this mortal body, could never do. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1 again says, "For we know that if our earthly house, our human body, which is a tent, is taken down, physical death, we keep on having a building from God, resurrection body, a house not made with human hands, eternal in the heavens." Now, if you remember in our study in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 18, Paul wrote about fixing his eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "While we do not fix our eyes on, we are not preoccupied with the things which are seen, the visible. But we fix our eyes on, we're occupied with the things that are not seen, the invisible. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verses 1 through 4 is teaching the exact same thing. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, Paul declared that his human body was decaying, degenerating. Verse 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "For this reason we absolutely do not lose heart, but even though our outer man, our human body, is decaying, degenerating, yet our inner man, our heart, keeps on being renewed day by day." Now that's only true for the winner believer. That only true for the believer that the Word of God is more important than the air that you breathe. Notice, the winner believer keeps on being renewed in his heart day by day. And therefore, for the winner believer, he lives a spiritual life by the spiritual skills. He finds a sound doctrinal Bible teaching church. And then he assembles consistently and faithfully to take in the absolute truth of the Word of God, day by day by day by day. And in that process, renewed in his heart, in his thinking. And that's only the winner believer. Today we got a lot of believers, but there's no renovation. There's no renewing of their heart day by day. But they don't want it. There are churches all over. There are churches that have thousands of people assembling in them. And there's no renovation of their hearts. There's everything there except the grace and truth of the Word of God. So here we have a winner believer. "For this reason, we absolutely do not lose heart, but even though our outer man, the human body, is decaying, degenerating, yet our inner man, our heart, keeps on being renewed day by day." So in 2 Corinthians 4:16, Paul declared that his human body was decaying, degenerating. And in 2 Corinthians 4:11 and 12, Paul said he was constantly facing the danger of death, suffering for blessing. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 11, "For instance, we are living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Winner believers are constantly being delivered over to death." That's the danger of death. That's suffering for blessing. "For Jesus' sake, for the purpose that the life of Jesus indeed may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death, that is the dangers of death, suffering for blessing, works in us, Paul, Timothy, Titus, Silvanus, but life, the spiritual life, in you. So again, in 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 4, this paragraph is teaching what Paul taught in 2 Corinthians 4. In 2 Corinthians 4, 16, Paul declared that his human body was decaying and degenerating. And in 2 Corinthians 4, 11, 12, Paul said he was constantly facing the danger of death, that is, suffering for blessing as a winner believer. Suffering for blessing is a part of the greater grace blessing package that God has for the winner believer only. Now in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 2 and verse 4, twice Paul declares that while we are living in our human bodies, we groan, referring to suffering for blessing for the spiritually mature believer. Paul also taught this concept in Romans chapter 8, verse 23. So turn over to Romans 8, 23. Romans 8:23, and not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit. Well, that starts out the first fruits of the Spirit, or the first crops that come up. The first thing that happened was the regeneration. God the Holy Spirit, the moment of your faith in Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit created a human spirit. God the Father imputed eternal life to that human spirit. You were born again, regenerated. You have the universal indwelling of the Spirit in every believer at the moment of salvation. That's the first fruits of the Spirit. That provides the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, so that you can live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. And this is the groaning of the winner believer, the spiritually mature believer who has reached spiritual adulthood, and God can pour out greater grace, blessing of suffering for blessing. We groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. So now in 2 Corinthians 5, 2, verse 2 and verse 4, twice Paul declares that while we are living in our human bodies, we groan. And this refers to the suffering for blessing that God free to pour out on the winner believer, the spiritually mature believer. But knowing Bible doctrine about phase 3 and our resurrection body gives the winner believer great confidence. The winner believer has great confidence. He's lived the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. He's advanced to spiritual maturity. He's accomplished the ultimate objective, virtue, love brought to completion in his heart. He has great, great confidence. So, one, knowing Bible doctrine. And that is a major problem today for most believers. They don't know Bible doctrine, and what's really sad is they don't want to know Bible doctrine. They don't want to know it. They don't want to find a sound doctrinal teaching church and assemble consistently and faithfully. Knowing Bible doctrine develops great confidence in the soul of the believer. Knowing Bible doctrine develops great confidence in the soul of the believer. Two, having maximum metabolized doctrine in our hearts through living the spiritual life results in virtue love being brought to completion in our hearts. Having maximum metabolized doctrine in our hearts through living the spiritual life results in virtue love being brought to completion in our hearts. And that's the ultimate objective of the spiritual life in the church age. That's why we're here. Three, this enables us to clear the spiritual hurdles of suffering for blessing in phase two. And that's the word, the groanings. This enables us to clear the spiritual hurdles of suffering for blessing, that special category of greater grace blessing given to the winner believer only, not to the loser believer, not to the baby believer, not to the adolescent believer, not to the reversionistic cosmic believer, only to the winner believer. Those who are living the carnal reversionistic life, they have suffering too, but it's punitive suffering. This enables us to clear the spiritual hurdles of suffering for blessing in phase two, and that's the groanings. Four, this enables us to keep our eyes on eternity, phase three. We live our life in the light of eternity. We're looking forward to living face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ in our resurrection bodies. It's reality. It's a phenomenal blessing in our soul, gives us the greatest confidence. So this enables us to keep our eyes on eternity, phase three, and living face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ in our resurrection bodies. Five, the soul groans while we're here in time in phase two, because it is living in a degenerating, decaying tent. The soul groans in phase two in time because it's living in a degenerating, decaying tent. Six, but our soul is looking forward to eternity. It's looking forward to phase three, and wants to be living in the eternal house, the resurrection body, with perfect happiness. But our soul is looking forward to eternity, phase three, and wants to be living in the eternal house, the resurrection body, with perfect happiness. Seven, knowing Bible doctrine, having maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart, the warning, live your life as wise, not as the unwise. Knowing Bible doctrine, maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart, one, develops confidence. Maximum confidence in God, maximum confidence in the Word of God. Secondly, it develops God's problem-solving devices are developed, they're out on the flat line of your soul, so that you can clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing. So knowing Bible doctrine, maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart, develops confidence in God and the Word of God, develops God's problem-solving devices on the flat line of your soul, the forward line of troops, so that you can clear the spiritual hurdles of suffering for blessing. And third, so that you can understand the plan of God and the will of God for your life. so you can understand the plan of God and the will of God for your life. And four, maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart enables you to know God. You know the essence of God. You have personal love for God the Father. You have personal love for God the Son and occupation with Jesus Christ. And maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart means you will have great, great happiness in your soul every single day. Now, I know a lot of you are out running around and doing your Christmas shopping and all that stuff. Well, I've been out there too. I shop for the dogs first. Dogs are up here in importance and the people are down here. So I always go to the PetSmart and find all of the things that really matter. And my thing is, everybody I know has a dog. And so I spend more money on dogs than I do people. The hell with the people. And as I was checking out, the gal says, "Oh, your pets are going to have a wonderful Christmas." And I said, "Well, my pets are all dead." So they are having a wonderful Christmas because they were Christian dogs and they're in heaven. So. But they're all dead. These are for other dogs. But these are dogs of people in my... I'm a pastor of a church, and dogs of people in my congregation, and they have Christian dogs, and they've learned Bible doctrine, and they have Christmas every day. These dogs associated with this church, they have Christmas every single day. So, well, we're not just going to have it one day. No, they have Christmas every day and Thanksgiving. They always are... Well, you know that. That's dog. Now cats say, "Get the hell out of here." And believe it or not, I bought a few presents for cats too. So it's great. It's great to be able to communicate. There are people, when you tell them that you have Christmas every day, you have this happiness in your soul every day. And it doesn't mean that everything's going... look at the world. What's going on in the world? Look at America. What's going on in America? Look at what's going on in Las Vegas. Look at all of the things that are... You see, everywhere you look, you see the Satan's cosmic system. You see evil. And yet the believer who lives the spiritual life by the spiritual skills has Christmas every single day. And it blows everybody else away. They just something they have never been able to comprehend. But that's what God has for you. That's the plan of God for each one of you, to have Christmas every single day. So again, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1 says, "For we know that if our earthly house, our human body, which is a tent, very, very temporary, is taken down, physical death, we keep on having a building from God, a resurrection body, a house not made with human hands, eternal in the heavens." Now verse 2, groaning. "For in this we groan." This is the conjunction chi with the postpositive conjunction gar, plus the prepositional phrase and plus the dative singular of the demonstrative pronoun houtas, plus the present active indicative of stenazo. Now the conjunction chi, if it's connective chi, I won't put it up here, but this is not a connective chi. K-A-I. Chi here is an emphatic chi. And the emphatic chi may be translated in fact, certainly, really, indeed. And we will translate it indeed. And then the post-positive conjunction gar. Post-positive conjunction gar is an inferential gar introducing a cause or reason, and correctly translated, for. And then the preposition and plus the dative singular of the demonstrative pronoun houtas. N plus the demonstrative. E-N, this is H-O-U-T-O-S, and houtas. And you translate that in this. And in this refers to our human body, our tent, our temporary abode. That is in this. So in this, our human body, in this, our tent, in this, our temporary abode. And then the verb stenazo. S-T-E-N-A-Z, long O. Stenazo. All right, a couple of things on stenazo. One, stenazo means to sigh or to groan. And we will translate it to groan. It's how it's translated most of the time in your Bible. Two, it is groaning because of suffering or adversity or testing or trials. So it is groaning because of suffering, adversity, testing, trials. Three, it means that you are hurting so much that you're making noises. Four, as our tent, our human body degenerates, and combined with the fact that you, as you have hopefully getting older, you have grown up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and attained spiritual adulthood, and now you qualify for suffering for blessing. As our tent, our human body degenerates, but remember, but our inner man keeps on being renewed day by day by day, there are, it does hurt. There are pains and problems. And there is groaning. Five. This hurting is in the soul. Many times it's in the soul. Six. The soul is doing the groaning inside the tent of the human body. The soul is doing the groaning inside the tent of the human body. Seven, this is the spiritual hurdles of suffering for blessing. This is the spiritual hurdles of suffering for blessing. The present tense is a customary present. The customary present does not present action in progress, but rather makes the statement of general timeless fact. It does not say that something is happening, but that something does happen. The active voice, the believer living in the tent of the human body, performs the action of the verb. The indicative mood is declarative, presenting this from the standpoint of certainty, reality, and fact in the life of the winner believer. For indeed, in this tent, our human body, we groan, suffering for blessing of the winning believer. And then we have a mental attitude of the winner believer as he's groaning in this suffering for blessing, earnestly desiring The winner believer is earnestly desiring to be clothed upon. This is the present active participle of epipothao plus the aorist middle infinitive of ep and duomai. First of all, epipothao. E-P-I-P-O-T-H-E, long O, epipothao. One epipothao is a compound verb made up of the preposition epi, which is on or upon, and then pothao, which is to desire. Two. So literally, epipotheo means to desire upon, to wish upon, to strive after something. That's literally. To desire upon, to wish upon, to strive after something. Three, epipotheo means intensely longing for something. Intensely longing for something. Intensely desiring something. And this is the mental attitude of the spiritually mature believer. Point four, the spiritually mature believer intensively longs for his resurrection body. The spiritually mature believer intensely longs for his resurrection body. The present tense has linear action start. The spiritually mature believer keeps on longing for his resurrection body. The active voice, the believer in spiritual adulthood, performs the action of the verb. The participle is circumstantial, attendant circumstance, has the same force as the main verb. The main verb is stenazo, to groan. And then along with epipotheo, we have ep and duomai. Ep and duomai, E-P-E-N-D-U-O-M-A-I, ep and duomai. Ep and duomai is only found two times in the New Testament scriptures. Both times it is used by the Apostle Paul, and both times it is in our passage is 2 Corinthians 5 verse 2 and 2 Corinthians 5 verse 4. The only two times this word is found. Both times it is used for the believer's intent, the spiritually mature believer's intense longing to be clothed with his resurrection body. It is not found in the Septuagint or other Greek versions of the Old Testament, including the Apocrypha. It's very likely the Apostle Paul coined this word from his own human genius. So literally, it means to put on clothes over something, to be clothed upon. It's used figuratively for putting on the resurrection body over the soul. Being clothed with our resurrection body. The real you is your soul. And your real you, soul, is living in a tent right now, soul and human spirit after salvation. And in after the resurrection, the rapture, our soul and human spirit, the real you, will be clothed with a resurrection body. So figuratively, putting on the resurrection body over the real you, the soul, being clothed with our resurrection body. Corrected translation. For indeed, in this tent, our human body, we groan and keep on longing to be clothed with. And again, this is the mentality of the winner believer. Even though his body is degenerating, His inner man is being renewed day by day, getting maximum amount of the grace and truth of the Word of God in his heart. For indeed, in this tent, our human body, we groan and keep on longing to be clothed with our house, which is from heaven. And this is really cool. I mean, this is the kind of thing that just gets me all cranked up. I feel like going out and running a marathon, except I can't even hardly get off the steps here. But and I feel sorry for pastors today. They don't even study from the original languages. I feel sorry for those pastors. They miss out. They miss out on so much fantastic truth that's there in the Word of God. God, the Holy Spirit, put it there to communicate truth. And we got even pastors that are so-called doctrinal pastors, they just poo-poo the studying of the God-breathed scriptures in the original languages. That's their loss. This is the noun oiketerion with the definite article, with the genitive plural personal pronoun ego, plus the neuter article ta with the prepositional phrase ek plus the genitive singular vouranos. No way. I know you were all sitting there going, no way. Way. Oiketerion. Looks like that in the Greek. O-I-K, long E-T, long E-R-I-O-N. Oiketerion. And literally, it means a dwelling or habitation. Figuratively, it refers to the resurrection body. And then we have the prepositional phrase, ek plus the genitive singular of uranos, and is preceded by the neuter of the definite article ta. This is beautiful, beautiful Greek. By putting that definite article in front of the prepositional phrase, it tells us that the prepositional phrase functions as an adjective. Wahoo! It functions as an adjective modifying the noun oiketerion. So, I mean, you'll never appreciate this unless I put it up here. And even after I put it up here, you probably won't appreciate it then. Ta. Oiketerion. And there's also with it the genitive plural of the personal pronoun, hamon. Oop. And then, ta, ex, uranu. Now, there's the noun with the definite article. And oiketerion, this is a dwelling. And this is personal pronoun, our dwelling. So, definite article, noun. Ah, definite article in front of a prepositional phrase. And the definite article in front of the prepositional phrase says this is an adjective that modifies this noun. So we have preposition from, uranu, heaven. So here is a prepositional phrase that is the adjective modifying the noun dwelling. So this literally says our from heaven dwelling. Our from heaven building, which is our resurrection body. So this is an adjective modifying the noun. Our from heaven dwelling, our from heaven resurrection body. So that's literally what it says, but it's not good English. So corrected translation. For indeed, in this tent, our human body, we groan and keep on longing. This is the winner believer. This is the spiritually mature believer, not the carnal reversionistic believer. For indeed, in this tent, our human body, we groan and keep on longing. Keep on longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, that is our resurrection body. For indeed, in this tent, our human body, we groan. This is suffering for blessing of the winner believer. And we keep on having this mental attitude of longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, our resurrection body. One, our human body that we're currently living in, this tent, is a very temporary house. It is a tent. Tents are temporary. Our human body is a very temporary house. It is a tent. James 4:14. You are just a vapor. You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. And that's all of us. Our life here is so, so short. So you are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Two, our life in our human body is very short. We are here today and we're gone tomorrow. Our life in our human body is very short. We are here today and gone tomorrow. Three, as long as we are in our human body on earth, there will be pressures, adversity, suffering. As long as we are in our human body on earth, there will be pressures, adversity, suffering. For unfortunately, for most believers, it's punitive suffering from making bad decisions, living in by the sin nature and Satan's cosmic system. But for the winner believer, it's suffering for blessing. Four, God has provided His grace and His power to clear the spiritual hurdles of suffering for blessing. God has provided His grace and His power to clear the spiritual hurdles of suffering for blessing. Five, He has given us in the church age the unique spiritual life and His problem-solving devices, which enable us to clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing. He has given us the unique spiritual life in the church age and His problem-solving devices. Six, when we attain spiritual adulthood and have virtue love brought to completion in our hearts, we glorify God in time by clearing the spiritual hurdles of suffering for blessing. When we attain spiritual maturity and have virtue love brought to completion in our heart, personal love for God the Father, the great motivational virtue, impersonal love for all mankind, the great functional virtue, occupation with Jesus Christ, and sharing the happiness of God, self-contained happiness every day, we glorify God in time by clearing the spiritual hurdles of suffering for blessing. 7. And we keep on intensively longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, our resurrection body. And again, this is the winner believer. And we keep on intensively longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, our resurrection body. Eight, when our dwelling from heaven, our resurrection body is received, all such groaning in our human body will be over and be replaced by happiness, joy, laughter, exultation in our resurrection body in heaven with our Lord forever and ever. So when our dwelling from heaven, our resurrection body is received, all such groaning in our human body will be over. It will give way to the laughter, to the exultation, to the happiness of our resurrection body in heaven with our Lord. So 2 Corinthians 5, 1 and 2 says, for we know that if our earthly house, our human body, which is a tent, is taken down, physical death, we keep on having a building from God, resurrection body, a house not made with human hands, eternal in the heavens. Verse 2, for indeed, in this tent, our human body, we groan and keep on longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, our resurrection body. Verse 3. And the thundering diction of the King James, if so be that being clothed, if so be that. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. I don't want to see any of you. I don't want to see any of you found naked in here. I'll guarantee you that right now. I don't care what you come in, just come in something. You can come in a barrel. That's totally all right. Just don't come in. Well, and I think in Texas they call it naked. Like it's N-E-K-K-I-D, something like that. We have the conditional particle AE with the enclitic particle ge plus the conjunction chi plus the aorist middle participle of enduo plus the future passive indicative of heurisko with the objective negative u plus the nominative plural of gumnas. Now, the combination of the conditional particle AE with the enclitic particle ge and the conjunction chi, this is one of the most emphatic phrases possible in the Koine Greek. A ge chi. E I G E K A. Oop, I'll put that in the Greek. K-A-I, A-G-A-K-I. This is a very extremely and emphatic phrase in the Koine Greek. Arntgen Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 152, says, the enclitic particle ge often cannot be translated, but it serves to add great, great emphasis. As it does here. When you add that to the emphatic chi, it's greater emphasis. And with the conditional particle AE, you can translate it, if in fact, if indeed, if in fact, if indeed, and then enduo. E-N-D-U-O. Enduo. One, in the active voice, enduo means to dress someone or to clothe someone. That's the active voice. It means to dress someone, to clothe someone. Two, in the middle voice, which is what we have, it means to clothe oneself in something, to put on something, to wear something. Three, at the resurrection, at the rapture, the church age believer's soul and human spirit will be enduoed. It will be clothed in a resurrection body. His soul and human spirit will put on a resurrection body. His soul and human spirit will wear a resurrection body. And therefore, point four, he will not be naked. Naked here is your soul without a body. Your soul without a body, you're naked. And then we have another verb, fantastic verb, heurisko. And this verb is so great, you're going to have to come back next week on this one. But this goes with enduo. And we're going to have heurisko and gumnas together. You don't want to wind up with heurisko gumnas, because then that means we find you naked. Hello? And the people in the white coats with our heads bowed. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Grab your books and help out a little
bit. That'd be fine. If you do that, I would kind of like to have you dress up a little bit.
Okay.